Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be. As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 or so minutes out of your busy day as we consciously come together to deepen in oneness, our interconnection, and to commune with the ground of being, the absolute reality, the unknowable mystery of life that we call God. And so this morning, my Sunday soul was inspired by something I read last Saturday. It so struck me on two accounts that I knew that I wanted to speak to it as soon as it was possible. And it's a quote by Friar of Father Thomas Keating, who said, "We're all like localized vibrations of the infinite goodness of God's presence. So love is our very nature. Love is our first, middle, and last name. Love is all, not love as sentimentality, but love that is self-forgetful and free of self-interest." The two things that struck me was the idea of being a localized vibration of the infinite presence of God. That remembrance that right where I am, God is. That God is expressing in me, through me, as me. I am that place where God's light, life, love shines through. And just hearing that different form of expression of this one truth, being a localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God, brought me to think about the second part that it struck me. That whilst we all know that love is our nature, love is our reason for being, and we're not talking about the sentimental, romantic love that we read about or think we're in, I'm talking about the love that was demonstrated by the Christ, the love that was self-forgetful and free of self-interest. I believe our teacher demonstrated that on every level, in every way possible, and in any shape or form that we choose to examine. And I thought about how, in this interesting times we find ourselves in, how the whole obsession of the pandemic has so overtaken us, that we have been, I believe, and I'll speak for myself personally, I have totally been caught up with my self-protection, myself being safe, myself being healthy, myself being, and you can fill in the blanks. And it wasn't that I had turned my eyes or hearts or attention away from anything else, from what was going on, because trust me, there were lots that I certainly was aware of. But I recognized that it was time to be a little bit less focused on myself, a little bit more open and experiencing and remembering that others out there have it so much worse than we do. And it's very easy to forget that fact when we are so focused on trying to be safe and trying to be well and trying to be healthy and trying to be as normal as we can be in these conditions and circumstances we find ourselves in globally, not just nationally, but globally. And so it has been ringing in my ears, I guess, this past week since reading it last Saturday. How was I, as a localized and infinite vibration of God's goodness, able to let go of my self-interest? How was I able to forget myself for a little bit? Not completely, but enough to know that there were other things that I needed to put my attention on, and there were other things that was worthy of my time, my energy, and my focus, and not just be about me, me, me. And I do believe that this whole pandemic situation has been a call for all of us to look at things differently, do things differently, and recognize and prioritize what changes we need to make in our life because of what no longer is important, or what is not as important as it used to be. I had a friend reach out to me in the week to see how I was, and he texted me to say that all things was well with him, except they were frustrated because their holiday plans had been scuppered, even though the garden was looking nice. And I text back to say, in the big scheme of things, scuppered holidays is not the end of the world when there is so much more that is going on and so much more that we need to be more appreciative of. You know, the fact that you do have a nice garden that you can enjoy, the fact that the family are all safe and well, the fact that, you know, business is still going on. And this is the thing when I realized is that we've lost sight of what's important because we've been so focused and obsessed about ourselves, how things are no longer the same for us, how things are no longer what it used to be. And this is a reality for every single one of us. But it doesn't mean that our life is any less valuable or our life is any less than perfect or what we define as perfect. It simply is that we are finding a new way of being. And truly, as localized expressions of the divine spirit, we know that God is always doing something new. That's why God is the I am that I am, not the I was or I will be, but a present moment God. So that things are evolving and changing, but we humans who are so attached to knowing the familiar, we are so attached to what we know, that when the unknown is presenting itself, we kind of go off the rails a little. I love the quote that I shared with yesterday's notification by Rick Warren, who says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. And I feel that this is a good time to start thinking of ourselves less and think about what else is going on in this world. I spoke with a friend who's in Costa Rica, and she loves the Sunday Soul, and she listens to it every week. And so she understands the philosophies and the teachings which we share, because that's her path as well. But like all of us, we've got caught up in the minutiae that sometimes can seem overwhelming when it's not. And she complained to me that the oven had broken down again. And where she's staying, the owners will try and fix it as soon as possible. But I appreciate it's the frustration when we can't do what we want to do when we want to do it that causes us to be angry, annoyed, and upset. And I laughed and I said with her, in the big scheme of things, you can still cook, you still have a beautiful home that you're living in, and you still have your health and strength. so you can't bake the cakes for people that you wanted to for their birthdays. It'll be their birthday all year, and I know that human nature being what it is, whenever they get it, they'll be happy and they'll be grateful. There's so much more that we need to recognize. The situation that's just happened in Lebanon, what's going on with the floods, so many people without homes because the monsoons are now heavier than they've ever been. And we could go on and on with the list of all the things that's happening across our globe. My beloved, the invitation this morning is that we are truly to recognize and remember that we are localized vibrations of the infinite goodness of God's presence. That doesn't mean we just hoard it for ourselves and focus on it on being solely for our own benefit. It's how are we showing up as this localized expression of God. Not just for our family and friends, or our communities and neighborhoods, but further afield. And always when I'm talking about these subjects, I'm not suggesting that you have to be giving out your money. There are lots of things you can do that can take your focus off yourself and place it on the greater good. Whether it's writing letters to care homes, to the residents who maybe have no one to visit them. Obviously they can't receive visitors, but I'm sure they would love to receive a letter. Or volunteering at a food bank. If you can't give, then go and give your time. There are just other ways that we can reach out and be less self-focused and a bit more outward-focused. The story that I want to share with you this morning, I read some weeks back and I was so touched, I knew I'd have to share it with you. And it's the story of Dadaro Bilal. It says the year was 2015 in the rainy month of July. 16-year-old Prakash Bilal was riding pillion on a motorbike with his brother Ram on their way back home. He had only cleared Class 10 boards and was returning after submitting an admission form to a college in Bandup, Mumbai. The duo took shelter on the way near Pawai since it started raining heavily. Once the water receded, they embarked on the route again. The street was clogged with rainwater. Their motorbike got stuck in a pothole, submerged underwater. Before they even had the chance to react, to pull the bike out, the vehicle had dug into the ground. Ram was riding the motorbike, was thrown at a distance of 5 feet, and Prakash was thrown over his head onto the street 10 feet away. Pedestrians stood clicking pictures, but no one came to their aid. I told the family that the boys had fallen off the bike when they asked to accompany me, said their father. I told them that I didn't think the injuries would be that bad, so I left alone. I received a second call when I was halfway to the hospital. They told me Prakash had succumbed to a brain hemorrhage, and Ram was being treated. He was shaken up and critical. At that moment, my world had come crashing down. Dadaro let his grief take a back seat. He couldn't save Prakash, but he was adamant to save Ram. He did not tell his family or his relatives, or even Ram, that Prakash had passed. They waited until Ram stabilized. After 24 hours, the family was informed. The hardest hit was Prakash's mother. Even as the grief of losing their son was tearing them apart, Dadaro decided to do something nobody expected. Armed with broken paved blocks, gravel, stones, and shovels, he started filling in every pothole he witnessed within one month of Prakash's passing. Since August 2015 to date, he has filled in over 554 potholes and has been given the moniker Pothole Dada of Mumbai. It wasn't just his son's death, but repetitive cases that bothered him, like the accident of another mother-daughter duo in Ambernath, where the mother died on the spot, and the Bhandara couple where the wife died after falling off the vehicle due to a pothole. I observed how authorities waited until someone died to fill potholes and file FIRS. I couldn't let any more people die like Prakash. And I decided to do it on my own using broken paving blocks, mud and stones. I started filling potholes, and most of the potholes that he fills are on the left side of the road, over 4 to 5 feet wide. When I saw cars and motorists easily passing over them, I thought I should continue it, and so my journey began. When someone asks me why I fill potholes, I tell them, I've lost my kid. I don't want you to lose yours. It's a tribute to my son. Whenever I fill in one pothole, I feel that I've saved someone. My son didn't return, but somebody else's son will go home safe. So what if my clothes get stained or my arms get muddy? It doesn't matter. Sara, I believe, is a true expression of a localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God. He didn't let his pain or his sorrow so overwhelm him that he did not recognize that he could do something to alleviate the future of someone else's grief, heartache, by if they lose a loved one because of the potholes. There are always going to be potholes that we come across in our lives. Maybe not literal potholes, but there's always going to be something that needs to be filled. And if we are thinking of ourselves less and thinking of what else we can do that can make this world a better place, then we too could fill our potholes that we come across. And whilst it may not benefit directly ourselves, the fact that it's benefiting another human being in itself is own reward. You see, if we remember and accept that we are the localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God, then why would we not to seek to demonstrate that in every way, shape, or form that is possible? And it doesn't need to look like one particular way, or it doesn't have to be what somebody else is doing that we think we need to do it that way. However we choose to show up as that individualized expression of the goodness of God will be right for us. Our sacred text this morning says from Colossians 3:12, God loves you and has chosen you as his own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. We are all God's special people. There's no one race that God favors above the other. What God favors is our expression of her divine spirit, her life. And as we always have the example of our teacher, who was kind, humble, patient, meek, and loving, we too need to express all those traits, all those qualities, so that we are truly vibrating as the localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God. Our sacred poem I want to share with you is a piece of prose from Fyodor Dostoevsky, whose writings I love. And he says, by the experience of active love, strive to love your neighbor actively and indefatigably. Inasmuch as you advance in love, you will grow sure of the reality of God and of the immortality of your soul. If you attain to perfect self-forgetfulness in the love of your neighbor, then you will believe without doubt, and no doubt can possibly enter your soul. This has been tried. This is certain. Peter Kreeft says, this is the secret of life. The self lives only by dying, finding its identity and its happiness only by self-forgetfulness, self-giving, self-sacrifice, and agape love. My beloveds, as I keep repeatedly saying, We are not called to be the next Mother Teresa, Martin Luther, Mandela, Dorothy Day, or any of the other wonderful people that gave selfless service in this world. We are here to be us, in the own unique, in our own unique and individualized way. But I have to keep constantly beating the drum for myself and for all of us, that we cannot be so focused on ourselves that we forget that we belong to one another. We cannot be so focused on our own self-interest that we do not care about the interest of others, their well-being, and how they matter. Sadly, we live in a culture where we seem to forget that each and every single rich individual has value. We live in cultures and times where those without a voice, those that have a scarcity of resources, are always the ones that are made to suffer. We are comfortable in our own little world. We are comfortable in our own little family units. And we forget the struggles that is happening across our globe. Our science of mind reading, excuse me, is entitled Make Life a Calling. The first quote comes from Michael Bernard Beckwith, who says, "Willingly enter into the stream of love and watch how you are carried by the unstoppable dynamic of God's love calling you to be bigger than you ever thought you could be." The second quote comes from Ernest Holmes, who says, "You should become aware that the one creative power is expressing in you in a unique way, that it is always pressing against you, seeking a fuller outlet of its infinite possibilities." The author writes, "If you ask Joe Rickey Jr. what one of his most important contributions to the world is, he might answer, making pizza. Upon first hearing it, you might think that unremarkable. However, Riggy's pizza making is anything but. 2 days a week, the 83-year-old heads down to the City Mission in Shenanigans, New York, to make 4 dozen pizzas. Making pizza is what he and his wife did for years when they operated their own pizza parlor. This time round, though pizza making isn't a job, it is a calling. City Mission's clients who are reassembling their lives after a period of tumult assist Riggy. They're either learning a new job, a skill, or simply giving back to the organization that aided them when they were in need, helping to serve about 700 meals a day. The result for Riggy is a new life and new energy. Staff and clients alike love him, and he loves them back, with dough, sauce, mozzarella, and a lot of smiles. Riggy's story gives me pause. What if you were to see everything you do in your life as a calling, whether you're scrubbing the toilet or teaching a spirituality class? What would your life look like if you expressed the love and joy of spirit consciously and deliberately in all that you do? Are you up for the challenge? My beloved, I do believe that each of us can make a difference wherever we are, because we are the localized vibration of the infinite goodness of God's presence. And so how that looks like and how we express that will be individual and unique to each one of us. But we need to forget ourselves a little more and think of others a little more. We need to think less of ourselves and think more of those that are needing our particular calling. And as I keep reiterating, even something as simple as a smile to someone you pass by can make a difference in that person's day. So let's shift our focus on self, small self, and make it an outward focus on how can we express the love that God is calling us to. Timothy Keller says, the essence of gospel humility is not thinking more of myself or thinking less of myself. It is thinking of myself less. So let's learn to think about ourselves a little less and others a little more. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes and go within. As we bring our attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always at this time, I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. Let us be conscious as we're breathing in that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. You can go for days or weeks without food or water, but you can only go for moments without the breath. It is the chi, it is the prana, it's the life force that we need to exist. So as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slowly. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in healing. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe in healing.
I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. My breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. Healing. Forgiveness. And as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in love. And as you breathe out, this is your breath as you breathe out care. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in love. My breath as I breathe out care. Love. Care. Love. Here, in the cave of the heart, sanctuary of the soul, take a moment to be intentional for yourself for your week ahead. See in your mind's eye that which you wish to be, do, have, or experience. Always as we are visioning for ourselves, we add the feeling component. Breath in as we bring our attention to our circle of prayer. Always you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is spirit, the energy, the life force that is everywhere present at every point in space and time, whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. Divine beloved, ground of being, thou who art the absolute mystery, that which is unknowable, beyond our finite intelligence, awareness, or understanding. As we consciously come into this moment of prayer, surrendering our little sense of self, our little identities, and come back to the remembrance that we are localized vibration of the infinite goodness of your presence. That right where we are here to express all that you are, that is love and all that love is. Not the sentimental love, but the agape love that reaches beyond family, friends, communities, and extends outward to include all of creation. So at this time, we remember the needs of those across our globe, those experiencing food scarcity, those in refugee camps who don't even have a plug for their phone, for those who don't have shelter. We're holding in our hearts for those that are suffering from the monsoons, the floods, the loss of their homes, their livelihoods, for those that in this great pandemic cannot be safe or separate themselves away from one from another. We're holding in our hearts all that we are doing to our beautiful planet, to the latest oil spill in the ocean, to our glaciers melting, to us polluting the earth with all this unnecessary plastic. As we hold in our hearts all that is happening across our globe, let us remember that as individualized vibrations of your spirit, of your life, of your goodness, that we can do our part to shift the balance, to make this world a place that is a world that is fair, equitable to all its inhabitants. That we do not see ourselves as more deserving than another, or another as less than ourselves. That we recognize our oneness, our interconnectedness, and that we are all expressions of your one life. Divine beloved, grounded being, source of all that is. For our world leaders at this time, whilst I struggle to find words for prayers for them, I ask that your infinite presence touch their hearts, their minds, that they will move beyond the selfishness and the concerns only for themselves or for their friends. But remember that the office they hold is one that is there to protect all people of their nations. But let us look even beyond just the people of the nations, of the individuals, to the collective, to the remembrance that we are one kind, humankind. We are one race, the human race. Let us not think as a human race that we are superior or better than any other sentient beings upon our planet. So let us remember and honor all of expressions of life, the winged, the hoofed, the finned. Divine beloved, ground of being, source of all that is. For all that is happening across our globe, I surrender. For all those that have returned homeward bound to you, I ask that those left behind be comforted in their grief, in the remembrance that we come from you and to you we shall return. That we made contracts before we evolved in this human form. And so let us remember to honor the contracts which we made. And so, beloved Mother, Father, God, all that is, for all that is yet to be, I ask that you guide and direct our paths, that you illuminate our ways, and that our hearts and minds stay open to the remembrance that we are
individual localized expressions and vibrations of your infinite goodness. May our hearts and minds be open always for your endless grace, your infinite blessings, and your eternal mercies. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in. As we do our movement prayer this morning, stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm, I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Bring your hands over your heart and affirm, I am loving, loved and lovable. And place your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards, and affirm, I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm, I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our Science of Mind affirmation and our Buddhist meditations. Repeat after me. I awake each morning.
I awake each morning.
And bring my conscious awareness.
And bring my conscious awareness.
To the truth.
That
my calling, here on earth, is to express the love and joy of spirit. In all that I do, and I let this guide all my activities. Our Buddhist meditations, if anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed, I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Now our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Bhagavad Bastani says, forgetfulness of self is remembrance of God. Today, my rumination for you, our Rumi quote, O God, in the very beginning you granted my soul one drop of knowledge. Please, won't you allow me to connect with your entire sea of grace? Just to remind you, we'll have our midweek prayer service at 10 on Thursday as normal, and our closing benediction this morning. May you go into your week with your ears pitched to the sound of God's voice calling your name. May you go into your week with your eyes peeled for the face of Christ in unexpected places. May you go into your week with your soul poised to acknowledge the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Peace. My closing song is from my favorite album by Unspoken, and is simply entitled, Let It Be Love. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Children of God, what have we done? We've taken the truth and made it a weapon. How easy we forget what you told us in. It was not pointing fingers or proving me wrong that caused and convicted me to come home. But kindness brought repentance, freedom and forgiveness. Oh, children, if we're gonna be known for something, let it be love.
No matter the cost.
That was unspoken. Let it be love. My beloveds, I wish you a very happy and blessed Sunday. Look forward to joining you again for our midweek prayer on Thursday. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.